Recently, I read this article by our guest for the Fordham Institute. He starts out by saying, for several decades, K-12 ed reformers and policy leaders have pushed to expand public school options and pathways. This has led to the creation of such alternatives as magnet and charter schools, micro schools, and learning pods, as well as dual enrollment, course choice, beefed up advanced placement, and the importing into high schools of industry credentials and youth apprenticeships. But where did it ultimately lead these students? And here to talk to us about it is Dr. Bruno V. Mano, chair of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. Doc, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
I was really intrigued with your article because I've not seen many people address this. It seems as though we've been almost monolithically focused on the pathway, but not the next step. You know, are these folks that are going through these pathways, are they better for it, and are they employable, and are they able to find work?
Yeah, I think that's right. The two words that I use to think about this a little bit and to help us understand it is, you know, have we created a map or have we created a maze? And I think there are some places where the map is beginning to develop, but I don't think that, that's the majority of places yet. So if I may add just a quick word about Louisiana, I think you've made a number of major steps in the direction of creating a map, but maybe we'll get into that in a few minutes.
Yes, sir, and I'm glad you brought that up. But if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, you talk about this opportunity pluralism,
yep.
and that, but we've not really connected any of this to a whole lot on the backside. Fully explain that for the audience, if you don't mind.
Sure. Well, the excerpt that you started with is a good way to think about this. I mean, we've created a lot of options for young people, both at the high school level and even beyond that. New Orleans is a great example of this, where you have a charter sector that have created and given families all kinds of options that they never had before under the more conventional or traditional school district system. But in addition to even those high school options, young people have options right after high school, whether they want to, you know, take on an apprenticeship, whether they want to just get a certification to a community college. And even while kids are in high school, more and more of them are opting to take college-level courses through dual enrollment. 20% of the young people who are enrolled in community colleges today are still in high school. So you've got all of these options, but not a lot of clear direction about where they might lead when push comes to shove. Will the CTE course, the career and technical education course that you're taking in high school, allow you to immediately transition to a job after high school and then offer you a further pathway to kind of advance forward? Or is it, just a one-off course that really doesn't amount to much of anything? That's the sort of question I think that young people and families face as they look at all of the options that are in front of them, whether it be dual enrollment, whether it be a credential, an industry approved credential or a certificate or a badge, or we'll use whatever word you want to describe this.
One would think that they would have their eye on this ball, right? I mean, obviously what they're delivering always has a follow up and has to lead to something. I mean, as people evaluate the ROI, the return on their investment of what they're doing in high school, advanced education and otherwise, or even technical education, that it's going to lead somewhere, you know, somewhat like the a job promised land. How did we find ourselves in this position? It's kind of mystifying to me.
Yeah, it is a big mystery. You know, the way, take the question of dual enrollment, people have come to talk about random acts of dual enrollment where there's no clear signal or message about what the next step might be, or whether this automatically, this course that you're taking at a local community college or for college credit, what is the pathway forward? Where is it going to lead you? Will it lead you to a job that has, you know, a decent wage and advancement possibilities built into it? We've sort of gotten to the place where we've worked a lot at creating options with not a lot of clear direction about whether they lead to something which is of value. There are attempts underway to kind of map this out for people. And again, I mentioned, you know, some of the stuff that you have going on in Louisiana really moves in the direction of helping people figure this out. You have the Jumpstart program, where you have a framework for career and technical education that shows you what the pathway is. You know, you have career diploma requirements that are clearly laid out for young people and families through that Jumpstart program. It tells you you need to take one course here, three courses here, two courses here. You'll get a career diploma requirement that makes you qualified to do X, Y, Z, A, B, C. That's the kind of pathway that we need for young people. And when it comes to a question of dual enrollment, you have down in Louisiana the Fast Forward program that makes sure that the career and technical education programs that you have, the fancy word is staff, that is to say they're sequenced in a way that really leads you to a pathway that gets you a good job. So it is possible to do this and to map it out, and states are beginning to do it, but there's still a lot of questions in other places about how one thing leads to the next.
Yeah, it's almost as if, and I don't even want to use the word silo. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what we're in. I guess maze. You're right. It is the maze.
I like the word maze myself.
Because there's no structure at all, right? I mean, it's kind of interesting. And I guess that's what, in many respects, it reveals itself by the frustration that we're seeing in American education today as it relates to getting jobs. I mean, you know, people spending hundreds of thousands of dollars educating themselves and can't get a $30,000 a year job.
That's right. There has been this huge pushback to the euphemism was college for all. Everybody needs to be prepared to go to college. And more people are asking about, they're asking the value question. What will my college degree get me when it comes to a good job? You know, we've now got some efforts underway to talk about what programs are valuable to young people, which ones, if you're going to college, actually will lead to a good job, and which ones perhaps are not worth the investment. But this is something that's taken a while to kind of make its way into the mainstream of what people think about when they look at making major investments in a place like college, post-secondary education. You know, you've got another group in New Orleans, a group called Youth Force NOLA, which I think is a good example of how you can show young people and families the sort of paths that they can put themselves on that do lead to good jobs, and that include work-based experience, internships, apprenticeships, that give young people a taste of exactly what they might get into if they pursue a particular path. So again, I don't want to go on a tangent here, but I think what you have in New Orleans or in Louisiana in general, sort of ahead of the pack here in many respects.
I'm a big cheerleader for Youth Force NOLA. They come on the show frequently to talk about their programs and their successes. I'm also a big believer in experiential learning, and they deploy that as well. And
that's right.
You know, and I'm really excited to hear that a national organization like yourself that is forward leaning on education criteria and otherwise recognizes what we're doing down here, and it's really heartening to hear, because you know we have made some improvements, and it's nice to hear that other people are recognizing that.
Yeah, and I think one of the lessons to take away from what you've done in Louisiana, in New Orleans, and even in a place like Baton Rouge, where you have schools there that are enrolling young people, not only are making it possible for young people to graduate from high school with an associate degree. I mean, these kind of programs do that. The sort of lesson that's applicable more nationally is you can't just do this overnight. You know, what's happened in, say, like New Orleans has taken place over an extended period of time. And what's happened across the state, the same way it's happened over an extended period of time. So ending up in a situation like that where you're much more, I think, attuned to helping people map things out as opposed to letting them loose in a maze is not something that just happens overnight. You've got to work at it consistently over time and have people push and push and push in that direction.
We're visiting with Dr. Bruno V. Mano, chair of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. Dr. Mano, correct me if I'm wrong. In Europe, they've had this kind of more organized way or pathway of leading to something, not necessarily a maze, for a number of years. And I've read a number of studies about how that works. Is that correct?
You're right. They're far, far in advance of us when it comes to thinking about what I would call these sort of multiple pathways to opportunity. You used the phrase earlier, you know, opportunity pluralism. There are multiple pathways to a good life. We in this country have tended to put all our eggs in one basket in some respects by talking about, you know, everyone needs to be prepared to go to college. And I'm not denigrating the college pathway at all, but I do think that we could take a lesson from what some of our European friends have done here when it comes to thinking about offering young people multiple pathways to opportunity through apprenticeships, through internships, through cooperative learning, through kind of hands-on work-based approaches. So yes, I do think we have something to learn from them about how to think about this issue.
Yeah, because if you're going to go out there, you know, life's tough, right? It's not easy. In fact, the easiest part of this may be going to school. It's when you get when it gets really hard. If you don't have the guidance, you don't have the tools, you don't have a roadmap, it makes it even all the more difficult. I can understand the frustration.
That's right. I've come to think about these, you know, the foundations of opportunity really involve three things. You need to know something, no doubt about it. You need to, so that's the knowledge part of it. You need to not only know something, you need to know people. So the networks you develop, beginning in high school, are important. And then out of this comes a real sense of, you know, who I am and what I want to do with my life, including what I want to do with my life occupationally. So it's knowledge plus networks plus identity are the foundations of opportunity. And too often we focused only on the sort of, well, here's what you need to know, without helping young people to figure out, you know, what this means practically speaking to the people who can help us know what the next step might be, whether these be mentors or other kinds of adults. And we get that through experiences in the workplace, youth apprenticeships, registered apprenticeships, internships, summer work, all the kind of things that help us ground our life in a positive way and see that, you know, here's what it means practically speaking.
What do you say to folks that are critics of looking through the lens of a value proposition as to how you go about educating yourself?
Well, everybody does that, whether they want to admit it or not. The question is, do we do it in a thoughtful way, in a reflective way, or do we just sort of stumble along and stumble into these things? So, you know, we can't avoid what you've called here a sort of value proposition. The question is, how best do we make our way through whatever we think our value proposition is? Do we do it in a thoughtful way with, you know, these pathways that are mapped out and that lead to things, or we do it in a less thoughtful way and kind of run our way through a maze not knowing what the next step might be?
In today's world where jobs are changing, advancing technologies very quickly at almost a warp speed, is it a lot harder today to define, quote unquote, the good job as opposed to, you know, four decades ago, five decades ago?
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that argument, but I don't think that should, you know, stop us from the fundamentals, thinking about the fundamentals. Right. The fundamentals here, you know, it doesn't matter what pathway you pursue. It doesn't matter that we're not entirely sure about what a job might be tomorrow. But there are sort of fundamentals. You do have to ground yourself in knowledge, you know, in the basics. You do need to develop relationships that help you understand what your next step might be. And we do need to be reflective about what our sort of occupational identity might be. So while it's true that a thing like artificial intelligence is changing the way jobs are thought about, it's also true to say that there are fundamentals. You know, if you can't read, if you can't write, if you can't have some knowledge about the basics of math, it doesn't matter what job you're trying to pursue, you're going to have problems. But if you ground yourself in the fundamentals, there's always a way to think about a pathway forward if you have the fundamentals in place.
No, you're so right. Sometimes we stare the obvious in the face and walk right around it and forget to go back and double check and, you know, look at it again. And it's something that we probably ought to do every morning, right?
Right.
Well, Dr. Bruno Mano, thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate your time and your insight. Really enjoyed your article. I haven't seen many people write about this, so it was intriguing to me, and thank you for joining us.
Well, it's been a pleasure to be with you, and sort of one, two, or three words takeaway is look for the map, and let's give people more maps instead of, you know, throwing them into the maze.
No doubt, for sure. Dr. Bruno V. Mano, Chair, Thomas B. Fordham Institute. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.